Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron. We had a lot to do during that break. Sorry about that, everybody, but, you know, we play a little song for you. That's part of what the radio is for.
There's a song. It's about
money, I think. Yeah. Money, yeah. You know who else knows a little bit about money?
My wife.
The president and CEO of Faith Life Financial, whose last name we always struggle with, because there's two consonants right beside each other. Karen
Berlin.
Karen, what is it again?
Bjorn Salming.
Karen.
Perfect.
Where is that from again? Are you related to Börje Salming?
It's my husband's family is from Norway.
Norway.
Yipper.
Okay. Yipper, she says. Oh,
Yipper.
Man. Thank you for joining us again. What's new in your world other than, action teams? Because I've got a little poster in my hand that says, we have a passion to help you give back. You want to just lay that out for us again? Because I don't think I even understand. And I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed anyway, so can you help us?
Well, at Faith Life Financial, we're a unique organization because we believe that being wise with money leads to being more generous. And we see being wise with money and living generously going hand in hand as expressions of faith. So what we do for our members, those are people who purchase one of our products, and that's life insurance or investment products, we give our members opportunities to pay it forward through an exciting member benefit, and we call those action teams. It's a really easy way for people to involve their family and friends to support the causes they care about, and they simply apply online to lead an action team, and we send them $150 in seed money, a kit with team T-shirts, banners, stickers, the whole nine yards, to help them fund their event or service project. So it could be raising money for a shelter or going to a facility where, you know, you're going to pack food, whatever the situation might be. But by helping people plan, protect, and reach out in this way, we can all live more generously. It's very, very exciting.
Okay, so can you give me an example of how that whole seed money, $150 action team thing really worked? A practical example of something that just, you sat back and went, this is good. We are doing something good.
Sure. Great example. Very recently, our staff, actually, at head office, got together, and 19 of us went to the Gleaners. Are you familiar with them?
With the who?
The Gleaners.
The Gleaners.
Yeah. They pack and dry vegetables and create soup mix that is shipped all over the world to people who are hungry. Anyway, 19 of us went to the Gleaners, and they're just outside of Cambridge, and we packed these packages of dried vegetables and spices and beans and all that wonderful stuff. Mm-hmm. And we packed enough in a three-hour period to feed over 5,000 people. So it was very, very cool. Very cool.
That's good.
Oh, man.
That's really good. See, this is why I got excited when we decided to do a little partnership with Faith Life Financial. Because, look, over the years, I've had a lot of sort of financial companies approach me and say, hey, we want to advertise on your show. And I kind of dug behind the scenes a little bit. And, I don't know, I felt icky. I don't feel icky with you guys. Now write that down as an endorsement.
They should feel icky with you.
Yeah, you should feel icky with me, but yeah. All right, so let's get people ready for 2019, because I think as the new year thing hits, we all kind of, I don't know, we get shaky because we realize how much we just spent at Christmas. Now we start into a new year. Can you give us some, I don't know, financially fit advice for 2019?
Happy to do that. And I just want to reiterate how important it is, because 4 in 10 Canadians with debt believe they'll never, ever be free of their debt.
Yeah, I just saw yesterday, that article. It was everywhere.
It
was
I'm never going to be free.
For every dollar made, Canadians are spending $2.40 or something like that.
Yep. So in terms of financial fitness, it's like any other fitness program. It's all about taking small, consistent steps toward a goal that you've written down. And you start by knowing where your money is going. And you can gain control of your financial situation by writing down everything that you think you spent money on in the last month, and then getting real, which means locating your most recent bank and credit card statements and compare the two. And it's surprising that people usually discover that, you know, they have a little bit of a distorted perception
yeah.
of what they're actually spending, meaning they spend more than they realize.
Sure.
That's
sure.
number one.
Yeah, okay. So what about in my world, it helps, I think what you're saying is to know where your money is going, and you've got to sit down and actually think about it, talk about it, communicate about it, whoever you're living with, or family, or spouse, or whatever, where is the money going?
Yep.
All right, and then I think when you do that, then you start to understand spending habits. Would that be maybe a realization that comes afterwards?
You've got it, because many of us, you know, some of us have that discipline to, you know, set the budget and follow it the way we had planned to do. But many of us tend to spend from a reaction to loneliness or being bored. So in that conversation that you referenced, Drew, it's really important to think about when and why we buy. You know, for couples, it's a fun time out sometimes rather than, you know, a goal to in itself. Mm-hmm. And there may be patterns that lead to unnecessary spending. So always, always ask yourself if you need the item right now. Am I spending because it's part of my plan, or am I doing it to have fun, or because I feel sorry for myself, or whatever the situation might be? And none of us should feel badly about discovering that. It's very, very normal. So to think about it, talk about it, recognizing it in each other is a huge step forward.
Well, it's like anything else that becomes a bit of an issue in your life. Awareness is the first step, right?
So, you got it.
All right, now you're aware. Now you've taken the inventory of your debt. You're aware. Now what?
You write it down, a realistic repayment schedule. Hmm. So look at all of your payments that are due. Be sure to pay all the ones that have the highest rates first. And then, again, don't just take for granted that you'll remember exactly what the plan is. Write it down and map out a realistic repayment schedule. Make more than the minimum payments each month, and consider consolidating all of your debt into one loan, because you can usually bring the interest rate down considerably by doing that. And again, just make wise decisions. Avoid buying those big-ticket items or taking on any additional debt. There's another really interesting approach, and it's called snowballing. You know, many of us will have, you know, 4 or 5 different kinds of debt, and it feels insurmountable sometimes to think about how you're ever going to repay all of them. So by looking at all of them together, this snowball, and repaying the smallest one first, even at the beginning of the process, even if it's not the highest interest rate, you feel like you're accomplishing something. Then you get on to the next one and the next one and the next one. And you can begin to follow those principles of paying the highest interest rate first, because it's important that you feel that you are gaining control, and that inspires confidence. And with confidence comes the wisdom to make the right decision.
Karen Bjerland is the president and CEO of Faith Life Financial. The website is faithlifefinancial.ca. We really need, like, we don't actually talk about money a whole lot on the show. There's a few things we don't talk about a whole lot: money, politics, and sports.
Or religion.
But I think, look, I grew up in a family where it just wasn't talked about a whole lot. And now, so let me ask you this. I want some financial advice from my daughter. She is 26.
Mm-hmm. She's 26 now?
Can we just move past that point?
Wow.
She's 26.
You're old.
Stop it. So she's 26. And she puts things on her credit card, and then she pays them down. And I've been thinking, well, you should get a line of credit instead of credit cards, because the interest rates on credit cards are absolutely horrific. And in a line of credit, interest rates are better. But then I start thinking about the opposite way. Now, I'm going to explain it like this. Trampolines at camps. There's one camp that I saw who buried them so that the trampoline was at the same level as the ground.
Yep.
But what happened was they were having more injuries.
Really?
Because they weren't high in the air and kids weren't – they were taking more risks because they were ground level.
Oh.
Right? So now here's what I'm thinking. Okay. With credit card, maybe she should put her stuff on the credit card and be absolutely terrified of the interest rate. What do you think?
You know what, there's some validity to that approach. But you know what, part of it again is, as people gain the confidence to know that they have the understanding and the discipline to manage their own money,
mm-hmm.
after a period of time they can choose the more reasonable interest rates through a line of credit and such.
Right.
To get there, though, it's all about having these conversations with yourself, with your partners, and writing down what it is that you want to achieve. So, it's not just about buying something, but it's about setting goals and incorporating that decision to buy something as part of that goal. Then it's not just, you know, the process of purchasing for purchasing's sake, because that's such a big part of our culture. It's not about just getting more. It's about buying something to achieve a particular personal goal. And that then changes your perspective on it. It has value. There's purpose to what you're doing, as opposed to just doing it because, you know, you've got more room on your credit card or your line of credit. Line of credits can be very dangerous for some people, because people get caught in that moreism of our culture and spend way, way, way too much.
You're so, yeah, I wish I had, I might recant this. I was going to say, I wish I had you earlier in my life, because I would have been smarter with money, but I always kind of took that advice as like nagging, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
How does your husband feel about what you do?
Well, you know what, we have our clear lines of responsibility.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well,
actually, no, he's terrific.
So I want to go back to my daughter for a second, because I'm a penny pincher, I guess is maybe the term, and so I would see a nickel on the street, and I would pick it up. I see a penny on the street, I really pick it up, because they're no longer around. They're collector items. But my daughter's like, eh. So whenever she has friends over and they have a couple of pops, she doesn't even bother returning the empties.
Mm-hmm.
And that just drives me mental. Insane. And then the thermostat in the house, well, come on, you got to get a programmable thermostat, because it needs to dial down when you're not there and get up when you are there. Tim, are you with me on this?
I am, totally. Yeah, okay. We have our set twice in a day, when we're waiting, when we're sleeping.
And coupons. Come on.
Dude,
coupons,
we got like $1 million worth of coupons here.
We've got $400 worth of Chapman's coupons sitting
here. Make it rain in the studio.
Anyway, I'm saying, I think these small changes help when it comes to big decisions later. True story?
Absolutely. Because the issue here is that if people, and I'm going to come back to this goal concept again.
Yeah.
People don't have a goal. They don't realize they need to save. So the value of that nickel on the road, you know, that sort of thing just isn't real for them, because they don't have that goal in place, and again, that purpose behind saving. And you know Bruxy Cavey well.
I do.
He wrote a blog, I think it was May 31st. It's really awesome. It's about moreism. And if I could just quote him, he says, because you live like you belong in a culture where more is the goal, rather than being an ambassador to this materialistic culture, you end up getting caught up in moreism. And that's a big, big part of why, I mean, somebody who's 26, they're still young and they've got lots to learn, but it's the standard to just go out and have fun, as opposed to having a goal toward which, you know, we can make those small steps towards achievement.
And it's finding balance between the two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm always struggling with my weight, so I try to be good during the week and then give myself a day of not being so good.
Yeah.
Because it's easier for me to do it for the week if I know I can get away with one day.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the whole budgeting and goal-setting process, you should include, you know, along with the big changes like purchasing a home and that sort of thing, but you should budget. for the unknowns or the unexpecteds or the, you know, the little additional splurge. Knowing who you are and how you spend, plan for it, and then you never get trapped.
Man, see, this is why I like partnering with these guys. Faith Life Financial. Many of you have heard about them many times, but I want you to hear more about them. And that's why we're chatting with Karen Bjerland. She is the president and CEO of Faith Life Financial. The website is faithlifefinancial.ca. All right, just before we say goodbye to you, help us set some goals for 2019. What do you give us some advice when it comes to setting goals for 2019, Karen?
You can't always do them by yourself. As you mentioned before, Drew, you know, sit down with your partner, sit down with your family, the decision makers around you, and decide first and foremost what it is that you'd like to achieve together. Having the advice of a financial advisor is important as well. Most people don't understand the value of having a written plan. In fact, only 28% of Canadians have one. So get that help. That objective third-party view of what you're doing, plus the advice that they can give, can bolster your confidence and help you achieve those goals. So pay down debt. Make sure that as you're planning, that you're wise with that debt. You're protecting against setbacks, as we talked about before. Spend less than you earn. So again, take a tally of what you're earning and compare that to what you're spending. Have a short-term plan and a long-term plan, and as time goes by, you'll discover that your confidence grows as you achieve these step-by-step elements of your goal, that you can give back more. You can develop a lifestyle for you that meets your needs and has something left over to give back to others. And the joy that comes from that is something that not only grows confidence but expands your world. Right to God's kingdom.
Man, I don't think I've ever said this on the show. Ready?
Yes.
Ready, Tim?
Am I going to say what you're saying?
Preach it, girl.
I was going to say preach sister, but that's good too.
All right. So good to have you guys as a partner. I respect and value what you do and how you guys do it. I really do. FaithLifeFinancial.ca, that's the website. Let me just ask you, we've run out of time here, but I'm going to ask you this quick question. I can see, this was the way I was thinking when it came to this stuff. Well, I'm not going to hire a financial advisor because I don't have finances for someone to really advise. So, you know, why do I need to hire a financial advisor? Your answer is?
Those nickels add up, buddy.
They do add up, yeah.
that's the answer right there. The nickels do add up. And without that expertise and the perspective, it's just harder. Not that people can't do it on their own, they can. But most people aren't successful when they do that. That's why it's so important.
And you guys have so much great advice on your website. Again, the website is faithlifefinancial.ca. Karen, I really, really, wow, twice, two reallys. I really, really wish you a Merry Christmas. I do. I hope something happens this Christmas that rocks your soul. I'm getting all schmaltzy here, but... You know, sometimes we have yearnings throughout the year, and sometimes over Christmas, that's when things go down that really are magical. And I hope something really trippy happens to you this Christmas.
Oh, thank you so much. That's a wonderful, wonderful blessing, and same to you.
Thank you, Karen. You take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Karen Bjerland from Faith Life Financial. She's a good woman.
Smart cookie.
No, but she's such a clear communicator. Mm-hmm. Like, if a meathead like me can understand...
And she does it in a way that, like you mentioned earlier, where you'd feel like it was nagging, but it's not.
Yeah.
She does it in just
like
a really encouraging way.
Like, if you were to say what she said, I wouldn't listen.
Well, there's that. But there's also, I think she's generous with the fact that she understands that, like my dieting thing. There's some people that say, you can't, you know, eat anything that's bad for you ever, ever again. But she can sort of go like, no, you need to, you know, go out and spoil yourself once in a while. It's okay.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
Scary,
I
eh?
I really
for you?
Do. Yeah.
Not for me.
Stop it.